Thank you, Maggie. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night service here at Berean Baptist Church. We're going to turn to 336 in the hymn book and sing My Hope is in the Lord. 336. And why don't you stand if you're able with me and we'll sing it together. All four verses, 336.
In the Lord who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely. Suppress my only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. For me he died, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. His grace has planned it. Is mine but to believe and recognize his work of love and Christ receive. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely.
Remain steady for prayer. I have a couple of prayer requests I'm going to just share with you at this time. Praise, actually. To begin with, David and Christy and Lucas are planning to come here the first part of May for a couple of months. And, of course, one of the things that they need to get into place and to organize is a helper to take on the ministry while they're absent from Eureka. And there is an individual down in Coquimbo, which is a 19-hour trip. Chile, if you drive in Chile, it's not close to anywhere. You drive a long way. But anyway, he's going to come up along with his wife. Pablo is his name, and Connie. And they're going to be involved in the church start there during the time that David and Christy are gone and here in the States. So that's an answer to prayer for them. Also, on the bulletin board, let's not forget to pray for our Ukrainian families. And my recommendation would be to just take one of these cards and take it home with you and pray for them throughout the week. And then if you would like to exchange it for another one, let's remember them as well. I'm going to be remembering the Novick family this evening. So let's pray together. Father, thank you that we're able to come together this evening and to see and to sing about our hope. Our hope is in you. It's not in the political system. It's not in economics. It's not in education or in science. Although those have their place, but Lord, you are to have first place. Because without you, there is no hope. And we thank you that that hope came to us in a personal relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he did indeed give himself on that cross for us and for our sin. Pray tonight, Father, for the Novicks there in Ukraine as they're serving you in the city of Natashki. I pray, Lord, that this war there, the conflict would be halted, would be ended. Pray for their safety and protection. Pray for God's peace to rule in their hearts. and the minds of the believers that they are ministering to there in Ukraine. Pray, Father, for the believers to understand and perceive and act upon the opportunities that are before them to share Christ with others, unsaved neighbors and relatives. And so, Lord, I just pray for your blessing there and protection and provision for them. Bless our time together this evening. Pray for Brother Jeff as he brings the lesson. And we thank you, Father, for all that you will do in, through our lives as we yield them to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 397. Pressing on the upward way, higher ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's stars at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant onto higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Plant my feet higher ground.
You know who I'm reminded of when we sing that hymn? In the Old Testament, very famous character there, by the name of Caleb. He said when he was 80-plus years of age, Lord, give me this mountain. Plant my feet on higher ground. And the Lord certainly rewarded his faith and his trust in the Lord to do that, to give it to him. And we can do that very same thing. We can have that kind of faith in a God who will provide in such marvelous ways. 383.
To thee. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or foe to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea, through the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, through the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee. Then 318. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives, wild, restlessly. Day by day his sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.
Then one last hymn, 417. Faith of our fathers.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy, whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they let them die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee to as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Good singing tonight. Thank you, Maggie, for playing for us. A while back, I asked Brother Jeff to consider
bringing a series on Wednesday night and left the theme up to him. And I think he was going to be talking to us about Paul's co-workers. And we'll look forward to hearing from him at this time. Brother Jeff, why don't you come and share what God has laid upon your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, I'd like to read verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Paul is writing and he says, he's wrapping up the epistle to the Colossians, and he says, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. When this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry you have received of the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Some time ago, Pastor asked me if I would do a series, and I suggested to him a series on the companions of the Apostle Paul. There are nearly three dozen of these individuals mentioned in the New Testament, 11 of whom I just read about in Colossians. So for the next 35 weeks, I told Pastor I was going to get him tonight. For the next 35 weeks.
Amen.
Maybe not. For the next few weeks, we're going to look at a few of these individuals. Now, it's men and women, good and not so good. These nearly three dozen individuals who were a part of Paul's ministry. You may recognize some names there. Luke, Demas, Barnabas, and you may not recognize some names there. Nympha, Justice. It would be hard to bring a whole Bible study on some of these, and quite easy to bring a Bible study on others.
Yeah.
So tonight, for the first of our 35 lessons, I'm going to do a study on the most important of Paul's companions. Or should I say, the most important mentor to the Apostle Paul. Because the name Barnabas that we have recorded for us here in Luke chapter 4, we actually meet him as the man who brings Christ to the disciples. Paul!
There you go.
who brings Paul to the disciples when he is converted in Acts chapter 9. Well, I'm getting a little dyslexic here. I started looking for Barnabas in Romans chapter 9, which is, it's actually Acts chapter 9, verse 27, and I couldn't figure out why I didn't find him in Romans. That's because it was the wrong place. You know, as you get older, you take medication. Some of us are, I feel like I'm a drugstore, all the medication that I'm taking for this, that, and the other thing. And I look at some of the side effects of some of these things, and one of them is memory loss, and the other is I forget. But anyway, Barnabas. I want to do a study tonight of Barnabas because I would suggest to you that of all these names that are connected with Paul in the New Testament, Barnabas is the most significant. Now, you may say, I thought that pride of place belonged to Timothy. And indeed, Timothy is Paul's protege, is the man whom Paul will mentor to take over his ministry when Paul fades off the scene. But it's actually Barnabas whom we meet in the book of Acts. Barnabas is mentioned the most. The most times that he is mentioned, around 25 times or so, depending on how you count, Barnabas is found recorded for us in the book of Acts. And we see Barnabas having the pride of place before Paul. Mm-hmm. And he actually has a function to play as a disciple maker of the Apostle Paul. Father, thank you for the opportunity to take a few minutes and look at your word before we go to prayer. May we be like Barnabas. In Jesus' name, amen. The first time we meet Barnabas is in Acts chapter 4. And verse 36, Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, and I won't have time to read all of the passages that mention Barnabas. But this is before the Apostle Paul is converted. Am I seeing this right? Oh, I'm in chapter 5. I wonder why I went to chapter 5. See, this is a problem. I'm telling you. Okay, 4:36. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Now, what's interesting about this reference to Barnabas, this first reference, is we find out his name, son of encouragement. We find out his pedigree. He is both a Levite and a native of Cyprus, one of the larger islands in the Mediterranean Ocean, Mediterranean Sea, and that he is a man of some means. He owns a field. Now, if you remember in the next chapter of Acts, this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who also are a family of means, who collude together to deceive the apostles. They sell some property, but only bring part of it to the apostles. Now, we don't have time to study Ananias and Sapphira, but it was theirs. They could do with it what they wanted to. The problem is they thought that they would deceive the apostles and the disciples, and God judges them for this. What a place for Paul to be introduced. But we contrast Paul with Ananias and Sapphira, and we see a man of great character. Son of encouragement, a Levite from Cyprus, a man of means. This is where we meet him. This is long before the Apostle Paul is mentioned in the book of Acts. He's going to be a major figure in New Testament history. Yeah. Dave, help me out here, will you? Wave at me when I get it wrong. Yes. Now, we're not going to talk tonight about Barnabas, who wrote the Epistle of Barnabas, or Barnabas, who wrote the Acts of Barnabas, or even Barnabas, who wrote the Gospel of Barnabas. There were individuals who used the names of biblical figures to attach them to their writings in the hopes of getting a hearing. So in post-apostolic writings, we have a gospel, we have an epistle, and we have the Acts of Barnabas. Tertullian, a North African church historian, actually thought Barnabas, not Paul, wrote the book of Hebrews. Now, we know that in Paul's anonymous epistle to the Hebrews, wink, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It could have been Barnabas, but we don't actually know. We're dealing strictly not with the legend or the tradition of Barnabas, but with what the Bible says about this man, Barnabas. We've already seen his pedigree. We've already seen his hometown. We understand he's a man of character when we juxtapose Barnabas to Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, that's clear. Even though Luke doesn't say, look at Barnabas, and then look, he clearly juxtaposes them. Barnabas is a man who gives what he has to the work of the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira are a husband and wife who try to pretend to be more than what they are. It's no wonder that God is going to use Barnabas in a profound way. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 27 for the next reference to Barnabas. Acts 9:27. Now, you know, we still don't have Paul converted yet until we get to Acts. Honey, I'm talking about Paul now. Okay, Joshua, tell your mom to be quiet. I know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Paul is still not converted at the end of Acts chapter 8. In fact, I'm using the ESV, and boldface introducing the beginning of Acts 8, we still have Saul, who is the name of Paul, who is ravaging the church. He is trying to arrest disciples and have them executed. But we're about to see his conversion. So we come to Acts chapter 9. But Paul, verse 1, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Lovely guy to have around. But just wait a bit and see what God does. We don't have time to deal with the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Verse 15, the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he, Saul, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Saul is converted. Over to verse 27. You remember that after Paul got Saul got converted, they killed the fatted calf. There was great celebration in Jerusalem. Not so much. In fact, verse 23, when many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Here is this man who is a persecutor of the Jews, who now is under a death sentence because he's converted. And when he, verse 26, when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe he was a disciple. Can you blame them? Enter Barnabas. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. That's all it says. Barnabas is responsible for introducing Saul, whose name will soon become Paul, to the apostolic band. What a magnificent opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at Acts chapter 13. Actually, let's go back to chapter 12 for just a moment. You know, the problem is we're limited with time, and I want to leave time for prayer here, and I have five observations on the life of Barnabas. We could look at Barnabas as a church planter in Acts chapter 11. We could look at Barnabas and his relationship with his nephew John Mark in Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. But I want to begin to look at Barnabas's relationship with the Apostle Paul. So let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and see what the scripture says about the relationship between these two men. And I want you to notice in Acts chapter 13, their priority. Verse 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucas of Cyrene, Manan, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and
Saul.
Now, usually you list in a list like this the most important figure first. So it would be Dale and Dave and Jeff. You list the most important guy first. Sorry, Dave. Sorry, your brother. It's just the way you do things. It would be Carrie and John and Jeff in any list. I mean, you always list people in their order, in biblical lists. I mean, Paul is bringing up the rear, and he's not even called Paul at this point in time. He's still Saul. You talk about a junior member of the team. Now, what do we call Acts chapter 13? What do we call it? The beginning of?
Missions.
Of? Come on, help me out. Paul's first missionary journey. Isn't that what we say?
Yeah.
But I want you to notice whose missionary journey this is. This is Barnabas's missionary journey. And Paul, who is still called Saul, is a junior partner of the team, but not for long. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so being set out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, And from there they sailed to Cyprus. Why would they go to Cyprus?
That's where Barnabas is from.
Barnabas' hometown. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of the Lord in the synagogues of the Jews, and they joined John to assist them. And when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jew, etc., etc., etc. It's Barnabas and Saul that start off, but look now at verse 13. Now Paul and his companions. Excuse me? Paul? Paul and his companions? Well, go back to verse 9. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to see a transition. All of a sudden, Paul's place begins to become evident. And by verse 13, it's now Paul and Barnabas. What's a sad part of the story? You know, you remember the days of Paul Harvey? How many of you here were smart enough to listen to Paul Harvey when he was alive? And now we know the rest of the story. I worked in a battery factory in Greenville, South Carolina, and we always wanted to hear Paul Harvey's rest of the story. I don't know how long Paul Harvey's been dead. He's been dead a while. And I don't know if his rest of the stories are in syndication, but you know, it was a great series while it lasted. And now we want to look at the rest of the story here with Paul, just briefly, and then I want to draw some observations. Acts 13 is the beginning of the missionary journey, and Barnabas is in the lead. In Acts 14, verse 14, Barnabas is actually called an apostle. I'll leave that worm laying on the table, and Carrie can fish with it at some point in the future. Is Barnabas an apostle in the same way that Peter and John are apostles? I think he probably is. Frankly, he's called an apostle. Me, if the Bible calls him an apostle, he probably is an apostle, but you can make up your own mind on that one. But you see, it's Barnabas, it's Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. They're at Lystra. It's Paul and Barnabas. Paul is also rising to supremacy. They go back to Jerusalem. In Acts 15, we'll not take time to look at the Jerusalem Council. They go back. There's issues of whether or not they should behave like the Judaizers, eating meat with blood. And they decide to go back to the mission field to make their second missionary journey in verse 36 of Acts 16. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas said, sure. He wanted to take with them John called Mark. Who is John Mark? His nephew. But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now, we're not exactly told what happened between John Mark and his uncle's teammate. But it was serious enough that Paul said, "I don't trust him." I've heard sermons over the years of why Barnabas was out of the will of God for putting his confidence in John Mark. I don't think so. I think Barnabas, what's his name mean? Son of encouragement. son of consolation. I think Barnabas looked at his nephew and said, okay, I think I can help him. And Barnabas and Paul said, I don't have time. I'm not criticizing Paul. I just think Barnabas said, I think I can help him. Now, as a result of this split, you know these guys were Baptists, right? Because they split and they couldn't get along. You know, how many Baptists does it take to start a new church? Two. They just disagree over the color of the carpet. Your dad knows that, knew that. Oliver Sandall was pastored every church in Minnesota except one, I think. I mean, Baptists have split churches all across the state. And sometimes over legitimate reasons and sometimes over not so legitimate reasons. Doesn't matter tonight what we think of the separation between Barnabas and Paul. I think, now I'm going to contradict what I just said. I think it was actually for the better. Because now we have two missionary teams instead of one. And eventually, John Mark, and we'll get into this when we talk about John Mark, on about week 32, John Mark actually is useful to Paul.
Yeah.
And I would say that Barnabas had a hand in that. Mm-hmm. But Barnabas and Paul split. Now, I've taken more time than I really intended to. Let me draw out five lessons from the life of Barnabas and Paul. Number one, faithfulness often leads to great opportunity. There is no question that Barnabas' faithfulness early on led to greater opportunities in life as the first missionary. Did you hear that? The first missionary. Paul is not the first missionary. Barnabas is the first missionary. According to the gospel record in Acts chapter 13, separate from me Barnabas and Saul. Number two. Even the best of men sometimes disagree. Carrie and I have already disagreed with how many sessions I'm going to do on Wednesday night. He thought I was going to do 4, and I just told you I was going to do 35. Now, all kidding aside, good men sometimes disagree. It just happens. Did you ever disagree with your brother Dale? Hardly ever, because he'd put a whooping on you and put you in your place. You know, disagreements happen, even among good mm-hmm. men. Number three, conflict, while it often interrupts ministry, it can be used by the Lord to further his work. Barnabas goes his way. Takes John Mark, and Paul goes his way. And Barnabas is not out of the picture. But the scriptures focus on Paul, and that doesn't mean anything about Barnabas, not that he's a bad guy or made a mistake. We don't know much about Luke. I mean, except the fact that he writes a couple of books, but we don't know much about his life. Or Aristarchus, or Archippus, or Nympha. I'm looking forward to meeting her in heaven. Number four, even if someone else gets more credit, God will not forget the work we render to him. Even if someone gets more credit. Paul gets the credit in the New Testament, but that doesn't mean Barnabas won't be recognized in the day of judgment as a faithful man. And finally, even good men can be caught up in error and conflict. just happens. Beloved, it happens. You say it shouldn't happen. Okay. When we get to heaven, it won't happen. Carrie will agree with me when we get to heaven. I told Brother Carrie I was going to get him tonight. I appreciate our pastor. I really do. I want you to know he's a fine brother, and I'm thankful to be a part of the ministry here. And when we get to heaven, we'll agree on everything. Dave, you and Dale will agree.
Amen.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Your sister won't have to attend a different church. You'll get along with her when you get to heaven, Caleb. Oh, that will be glory for me.
Amen.
Glory for me. Glory for me. When by his grace
I shall look
on his face. That will be glory for me. Let's go to prayer.
Yeah.